The State Department is warning against travel to Bolivia as the country continues to fall into chaos. The former president, Evo Morales, resigned earlier this week amid allegations that he manipulated October election results. Morales has since fled to Mexico. In Morales' place is conservative politician Jeanine Áñez Chávez, who, in a bold move, stepped forward and declared herself as the new president. Joining us now for a closer look is Professor Robert Albro, a Latin America expert whose research often took him to Bolivia in the 90s. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Professor, let's talk about this new interim president, Jeanine Áñez Chávez. We know that she's a conservative legislator who once called Bolivia's indigenous rituals satanic. What else do we know about her?
Well, we don't know a great deal about her. She came into politics around 2006 and comes from a part of the country, the Beni lowland area, that has traditionally not been a stronghold of the former President Morales and his party, the Movement Toward Socialism. So she could be said to represent a kind of lowland coalition of opposition to Morales that has really not been on board with his presidency from the outset, now more than 13 years ago. And in fact, back in 2008, while I don't recall exactly what her role had been, but she was she's associated with folks who were composed something called the Media Luna, which essentially was an open civil revolt, a revolt that had to be quelled in 2008.
You mentioned the Media Luna. The Santa Cruz region also tried to secede back in 2008. Morales, though, was an extremely popular president, in part because prior to him, Bolivia had gone through five presidents in 5 years, and a lot of the politicians thought the country was ungovernable. How was he able to unify it?
Well, so Morales was, yes, a transformative leader and indeed an historically important president. And there are sort of two things one can point to that are clearly accomplishments that one would have to recognize. The first is he was the first indigenous president in the history of Bolivia, possibly in the world, and made it his purpose to work to enfranchise the majority indigenous population in that country. And that is no small legacy. That really is a tremendous accomplishment in a country for which its indigenous population has had to deal with the status of second-class citizenship until very recently. Mm-hmm. The second major accomplishment was that he was actually a quite competent economic steward and used a great deal of the resources generated from an extractive boom from which Bolivia benefited, particularly natural gas and other types of mining resources, and plowed that back into, you know, social redistributive policies and social safety net policies that had a tremendous effect on Bolivia's most poor. Bolivia has historically been a very poor country. I believe I'm correct in saying it's still the second poorest country in the hemisphere after Haiti.
Yeah.
And so he's lifted up approximately a million people from extreme poverty into the middle class in a country of 11 million.
Right, we see that extreme poverty rates fell by half.
That's right. So that was a tremendous accomplishment. Now, how sustainable that will be over time remains to be seen, given that the extractive economy has changed dramatically in the region, not just in Bolivia. But, you know, Bolivia was projected to grow, its economy was projected to grow by a 4.2% clip this coming year. Things still looked pretty sustainable, pretty good.
Yeah. But one commentator actually wrote that if Morales hadn't tried to cling to power, we might have even considered him South America's Nelson Mandela. Can you talk a little bit about that clinging to power and the findings of the investigation that really led to Morales fleeing?
So one of the difficulties with Morales as a president and then with his political party, the MAS, is that after more than a decade in power, there had been no clear plan laid for succession. One still cannot point to a second generation of young, dynamic leadership in his party. You know, there was a certain cult of personality. Morales, I think, also began to believe in the latter half of his tenure as president, you know, that he was that unique historical change agent, and it was only he who could bring about the culmination of this broad-based social and political revolution that he had undertaken, the decolonization of the country and so forth. Mm. So because of that, he began to behave in ways that I think we can reasonably describe as anti-democratic, or at least very cavalier about the democratic process. In 2016, he sought to extend term limits. He had already served for, depending upon how you want to count it, 2 or 3 terms. Mm-hmm. The Bolivian Constitution limits presidents to 2 terms. He asked for a national referendum to allow term limits to be extended. He lost that referendum. But then he decided not to accept the decision of the referendum, even though it had been a national vote, and took it to the Supreme Court, who annulled the outcome, citing the fact that Morales' human rights had been violated, a strange ruling. And so this created an atmosphere going into these elections where Morales had made it clear that he was going to insist on running despite what had already been established as the will of a broad swath of the population. Then, during the election process, we have a weird irregularity where on the election night, the vote count, public vote count, was stopped for 24 hours. Then when the vote count was continued 24 hours later, Morales had miraculously just enough to avoid the runoff. This immediately touched off charges of electoral manipulation and fraud. I will say that it's not altogether clear at this late point whether such fraud has actually been perpetrated. But the perception of fraud was pretty clear. And that then began what we are now seeing, street protests.
Right. Morales has said it is a coup. We, now with the rise of this conservative politician, Jeanine Añez Chávez, I'm wondering, do you believe that Morales' former supporters will back his return to Bolivian politics? He's actually said he would come back if they requested it.
Right. I think that Morales was sincere in wanting to do what was possible to limit violence and bloodshed. And so, you know, his decision to step down, his decision to retire from the scene for the time being and seek asylum in Mexico, I think we should say that at least in part that was a motivation. But I think, you know, we have the precedent of Hugo Chavez, who, you know, was briefly deposed in a coup only to return stronger than before. I think Morales is thinking about these kinds of things and willing to bide his time, weeks, months, or longer, in the hope that he can return kind of as a hero retaking the field to restore order to Bolivia. Whether that's a realistic goal remains to be seen. I mean, he had, to a significant degree, worn out his welcome with even people who were previously Morales supporters. So it's not clear whether that is a viable strategy for him or not.
It's so tempting right now to search for a through line for all of the unrest in South America. And you have said that we might be oversimplifying things by doing that, and that a bigger issue is the new idea that a democracy that doesn't address inequality is perhaps not a legitimate democracy at all. Tell us what you mean by that.
So Bolivia, in the context of Latin America currently, it is difficult to draw a thread through all of these. I think all of the various conflicts we're seeing in places like Chile and, you know, Ecuador, Peru, in different ways, Mexico, Brazil even. One thread is the idea that there had been a bringing together of, let's call it, neoliberal economic policy with nominal liberal democracy, and that that has not resulted in the even distribution of resources across countries. Even a country with a strong economy like Chile has severe socioeconomic inequality. In Bolivia, it's been very different. The inequality has different sources historically, given the largely indigenous nature of the population. And so it really is the enfranchisement of Bolivia's indigenous peoples, dealing with, you know, urban-rural divides, providing avenues for upward mobility for a growing indigenous middle class. These are the issues that Bolivians will be struggling over in the coming months, years.
That's Professor Robert Albro, a Latin America expert from American University. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.